Find, if you would, the 20th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter number 20 will be our text. Or not, you can talk, enjoy, whatever. It's family night. All right, Deuteronomy chapter number 20. As we continue tonight with our 10th statute, so we've been making our way since chapter 12. And I'll need 2 weeks to finish this lesson. And it's interesting that the Lord was only going to let me go to verse number 9. Even this morning, he told me that as far as I would get would be verse number 9. And now I understand and see how that's going to work. Pick up, if you would, please, in verse number 1. I'll read so you get the context of the chapter. The very first word of the chapter is so important. Highlight it, circle it, draw some attention to it. When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be, when you are come nigh unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not. Do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. I love that. And the officers shall speak unto the people, saying, What man is there that hath built a new house and hath not dedicated it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle and another man dedicate it. And what man is he that hath planted a vineyard and hath not eaten of it? Let him also go and return unto his house, lest he die in the battle and another man eat of it. And what man is there that hath betrothed a wife and hath not taken her? Let him go and return unto his house, lest he die in the battle and another man take her. And the officers shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, What man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart. And it shall be, when the officers have made an end of speaking unto the people, that they shall make captains of the armies to lead the people. We find ourselves once again with Moses instructing the nation and preparing them to enter into the promised land. He has been giving them statutes and directions and commands as to how to order themselves in God's land as God's people. And tonight he gives the 10th statute that we have been looking at. And in chapter number 20 is God giving them the statute of war. God is letting them know how to organize themselves and how to behave themselves when it comes to war. And especially as it comes to war, when it comes into the land that they have inherited. All throughout the messages, I have been telling you that we look at the nation of Israel as they're going through what they're going through in the Old Testament and under this situation in the old economy. And even though it has a little bit of a different direction under the law as opposed to grace, the same truth has been there. And the title of the lesson has been Things to Remember. So we're able to look at the nation of Israel and we're able to see how they were presented a situation by God and how God prepared them for a situation. And all those situations that God prepared them for was for their blessing and for their good and so that they could live and know him richly and know him as their God. And then we're able, kind of as spectators, knowing what we know in the books of the Bible to come, i.e. Joshua, Judges, into the Samuels and the Kings and the Chronicles, and as we know into the major prophets, and definitely as we know into the time of Christ, we know what decisions they made. We know how they got in there, and they did end up worshiping false gods, and they did turn their back on the true and living God. And so on this side of the Jordan, we're hearing and reading the direction that God has given to them. We're reading the promised blessing that God has given to them. And to us, it just looks so simple. Why didn't you just choose to obey the Lord? However, lest we be the ones to cast the first stones, sometimes we can look at our lives and God kind of lays out a path and a direction and a blessing before us. And when it boils down to it, it's not necessarily always easy to make a decision to go with what the Lord has. Sometimes we find our own selves falling short of that or making decisions contrary to the word of God. And so I'm not casting stones at the nation of Israel because I find myself doing some of the same things that they're doing. But I am able to look at their decisions and then use that as application into my life. I really believe that chapter number 20 is one of the closest statutes that we have that makes present day application in our lives, because this is a statute that prepared them for war. When you look at verse number 1, he calls it, when thou goest out to, would you say that word please? Battle. Now, you know that when the nation of Israel got into the promised land, they immediately ran into battles. The first city that they came to battle was the city of Jericho. All right, you know that story. They went from Jericho in presumption up to Ai. They suffered a defeat there. But all throughout their inheritance, it was God using them as his soldiers in what I will call, for a better lack of term, a holy war. I'll show you in next week's lesson that the reason that God had the nation of Israel come into the land of Canaan and be so harsh with them in a destructive manner was that the lands of the nation of Canaan, they had filled up their abominations. They had sinned against God. They had had truth given to them, even though they were wicked and pagan in their belief and in their practices. At one time, those nations had the truth of the true and living God, but they rejected that and they began to commit abominations. And so under the law, sin had to be judged. And so the sin, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. So God is judging them under the law, and the condemnation of that is death. And so God uses the nation of Israel as his soldiers to go in there and quote unquote a holy war at this time. And God was executing judgment upon that abomination through the nation of Israel. And so they found themselves constantly in battle as they were going from city to city to city. God is exercising judgment upon those that had refused him, and yet God is blessing the nation in their obedience. Now, today, the application is not that we go and you're not the executor of God's judgment, but you're not the ones, the church is not the one that carry this out. All sin has been judged by the blood of Jesus Christ. So that's not there. However, the application is, just like the nation of Israel found themselves fighting battles all the time, you and I, in our day, we find ourselves fighting spiritual battles. Their battles were spiritual battles as they were used of the Lord. And now our battles are spiritual battles as we walk in the spirit-filled life. Now, I've told you this, and hopefully it registers in your brain. The promised land is really, to us, a picture of the spirit-filled life or the Christian life. It's not just a picture of heaven. It's a picture of the spirit-filled life. So in their promised land, inside their inheritance, they fought physical battles. In our promised land, inside the spirit-filled life or the Christian life, we find that we too have an enemy. And we find that Paul wrote to Timothy that we too are soldiers of the Lord Jesus. We too are to endure hardness. And you will find all throughout the New Testament that there are battles, spiritual battles, that you and I face in our Christian walk. And if you've ever faced one, say amen. All right, so we know that. All right. So as God is instructing them in how to organize themselves and prepare themselves for their battle, it's beautiful instruction for us. When you come back to verse number one, it begins with the word what? When. Not if. There's an old adage out there. It's not if, but when. And he's telling them, when you come into battle, it's not maybe, it's not if, you're definitely going to get into the land and you're definitely going to have battles. So it helps tonight with Brittany's prayer request for the new believer to remind all of us old believers that until we are physically present with the Lord, and as long as we're on this earth, we will be in a spiritual battle in our lives. And it's unfair to tell the new believer that when you get saved, everything's going to be roses. If so, I didn't get that dozen. Somebody owes me a dozen roses. Because my life has not been a dozen roses or a bed of roses. I don't know about you, but I've had horrific spiritual battle in my life. And one thing that really has helped me, and not to live pessimistic, you know me, I'm not a pessimistic guy, I'm an optimistic guy, is that I know in my mind that spiritual battles are part of the promised land. They are. And you're only going to frustrate yourself, and you're only going to put yourself in a very vulnerable position if you don't understand it. Pastor, why is my life always so rough? Well, who promised it wouldn't be? Well, Pastor, how come it seems like I always face difficulty? Because that you're going to face difficulty. Because we live in a sin-cursed world, we have an enemy that's still running around. Now, praise the Lord, he's defeated, but he's still running around in our lives. And so when you come into the battle was an assurance that you're going to face it. You're here tonight, and you may not be in the battle right now, but you may have just come through one. You may be going into one, but spiritual battles are part of the Christian life. Now, you can either lay down and die, or you can fight the good fight. And Paul said to Timothy, my time is at hand. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. I have fought the good fight. When the battle goes out, when thou goest out to battle, and now God is preparing them here. He describes a couple things about the battle so they understand this. In verse number one, when thou go against thine enemies and seest horses, chariots, and a people, what are those next three words? More than thou. More than thou. So God's not sugarcoating the battle. He's telling them, now when you go into these battles and you see their armies, it's going to look intimidating. Now, think back into this series and think back into your biblical history. Go back to Numbers chapter 13 in your mind. This was the last time they visited this. They sent 12 men over as spies into the land of Canaan. Those 12 men came back. They came back bearing the fruit of Canaan. Two of them came back and said, it's ours. 10 of them came back and said, no, because there's what in the land? Giants in the land. Right. So 10 of them, they saw enemies more than they, more than them. And it's so intimidating. They said, Joshua, listen, man, we're grasshoppers. I mean, these guys are going to destroy us. Now, Moses did not want this second generation to be destroyed. He wanted them to know victory. God didn't want them to be destroyed. And so God is once again revisiting them. Their parents had messed this up royally. And God says, now, you're going to have a battle. And when you get into the battle and you look at them, it's going to look like you're going to be destroyed. I'm preparing your mind for this, soldier. I'm getting you a mindset so you know how to go in. So when you go in there and you see that giant, don't immediately succumb to unbelief or fear and run the other way. Look, if you would, at verse number one. When you see those people that are more than thou, be not afraid of, say that word, them. Don't be afraid of them. I remember one time I had a bully on the bus. I think I was in the fifth grade. And his name, I hope you don't ever come to church here, but his name was Daniel. Daniel was a bully. And he wasn't that much bigger than me. He just had a couple of friends. And I kind of was I was one of the kids they picked up on the van. And I got on the van. Everybody else was already on the van. Now, my dad is old school. So back then, you dealt with bullies a little different than you deal with them today. So my dad said, Tommy, I'll tell you what you do. He said, the next time that boy lays a hand on you, he said, you have my permission. You take your fist and you punch him as hard as you can right in the nose. Amen. And I remember getting on that van, and he began to pick on me again. And my dad's words are telling me, and I just chickened out. I couldn't hit him. I'm just bearing my soul to you. I chickened out. I couldn't do it. I was afraid. And the truth be told, my dad understood something I didn't understand. My dad understood the bully, he understood the boy, he understood the moment, and he said, son, there's no reason for you to be afraid. Just stick him, hit him one time, you'll be done with it. So my dad was giving me counsel from a victorious position, and here I am shaking. So here's God. God's the father of the nation of Israel, and God says, now listen, you're going to get in there, and you're going to see these bullies. I want you to don't be afraid of them. Take your fist and punch them right in the nose. It's going to be okay. That's in my Bible, not in your Bible. But pick up, if you would, in verse number 1. Be not afraid of them. Why? For the Lord, say that word, thy God is with thee. Wow. I love that. I just want to look at you tonight, and I just want to say, if you're saved, God is with you. Think about that. Think about that. Pastor, if you knew what I left to get here, okay. But God is with you. And he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So God being greater than man, God instructing the nation of Israel here, he's preparing them for war. He says, now battle's coming. When you get over there and you look at them and they're intimidating to you, don't be afraid of them. I'm with you. Now watch what God does. He encourages them with that last statement of that verse. For the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. What does God say? Whenever God, I've told you this, hopefully you'll remember this. This should sink in. If not, you need it. Whenever God wants to refer to his omnipotence in the Old Testament, that's his all-powerful. He can give you no greater statement than the Lord which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. That's where God goes to prove that there's no one greater or more powerful than him. In the New Testament, when God wants to prove to the church that he's all powerful, he goes to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So in the Old Testament, he says, I'm the one that brought you out of Egypt. And in the mind and heart of God, there was not a more powerful act of deliverance than bringing those slaves as a nation, those burdened people out from under that bondage and freeing them, which is a picture of our redemption. In the New Testament, there's no greater act of power than raising up his son from the dead. So this is what God says to the nation. Now listen, when you go in here and you face the battle, a battle that I'm going to bring you to, I'm bringing you to this battle because I'm going to deliver these people to you. When you look at them, you're going to think you're going to die. When you look at them, you're going to think there ain't no way. When you look at them, you're going to say, we're grasshoppers. He said, now, first off, don't be afraid of them. Well, God, how am I not supposed to be afraid of them? Oh, because I'm with you. By the way, greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. So let me ask you a question. Do you believe that God is greater than the problem you're in right now? Do you believe that God is greater than any battle you face? The greatest battle you faced was hell. That's what God is saying. God is saying, he takes the nation back to redemption and he says, I already fought the greatest battle you could ever face. I fought your eternal battle. Now, my friends, if God has brought us victory in an eternal battle, then God can bring us victory in our physical battles. He's all powerful. So then he goes on in verse number 2. And he says, now it shall be when you're come in nigh into the battle. And he gives some instruction here. And he's encouraged the heart and the mind of the soldier. And he's still working on it. He says, now when you come into the battle, that the priest shall approach and shall speak unto the people. Now, when you think about war in the Old Testament, you don't think about the priest being involved. The priest is the guy that does the temple. The priest is the guy that offers the sacrifices. The priest is the guy that deals with all of the sanctuaries. Why would the priest be involved in this physical battle? Why would the priest be talking to the troops, Pastor? Now, I could understand if the captain of the host, I could understand if the general was doing something, but why would the priest be doing it? Okay, beautiful. Here's why. The battle that the nation of Israel was fighting is not just physical battles, it was a spiritual battle. And God knew that they needed to be spiritually prepared to fight a spiritual battle. I come over to your life. The battles you face are spiritual battles. And you've got to be spiritually prepared to fight spiritual battles or you're going to get destroyed. Amen? Okay, so now watch what he says here. The priest addressed them, verse number 3, and shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not, and do not tremble. Neither be ye terrified because of them. Now here's the spiritual truth that the priest gives them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you. Again, he is reinforcing the presence of God going with you. Not only is he reinforcing God's presence, but look as he's reinforcing God's provision. Not only is God just going with you, he's not riding along as your co-pilot. What a stupid bumper sticker. They ought to flip that around. All right. He is he that goeth with you to, what's that word, class? Fight. To fight for, say it, you. Now, nation, when you get in there and they look intimidating, don't be afraid of them. God is with you and God is going to fight for you. Now, you're ahead of the game on them, okay? They still haven't crossed over the river. So let's go to the city of Jericho. Somebody tell me, who knocked down the walls of Jericho? God did. Who fought that battle? God did. God was fighting for them. So you got a spiritual battle at work and somebody's lied against you and they've mistreated you. Okay. So what are you going to do about it? Punch their lights out. That's why Malcolm is unemployed. What are you going to do? You're going to quit? You're going to quit your job? Are you going to pout? You're going to mope and blame God? Sour? Give up? Quit? What are you going to do? No. If you know God, he never leaves you nor forsakes you. And God fights for you. Wow. So, Pastor, I've been wronged. Okay. God's with you, and God will fight for you. Well, Pastor, But God, and you know what? I have found that God's never lost a fight in his whole life. Whole existence. God will fight for you. I've had this verse magnified in my life so many times. What a joy it is to humble yourself and still yourself and let God fight for you. He goes on to say he will fight for you against your enemies. Watch this. To do what? To save you. He's not talking about salvation here. He's talking about rescuing you. He's talking about protecting your life. Man, I'm telling you, in the spiritual battles that I face, so many times I fall on my face before God and I say, God, there's nothing I can do about this. Lord, I can't win this battle, but you promised me you would never leave me. You promised me you would fight for me and you promised you would fight to save me. So God, I just turn this thing over to you. I have found that When I turned matters and situations and battles over to the Lord, it's the most awesome moments of my life. The ability to stand up straight, the ability to sleep, the ability to rest, the ability to have peace. And so he's preparing the nation. He's preparing the soldier. He's preparing them. And he says, now listen, you can't go into these battles with a faint-heartedness. You can't go in here with unbelief. You can't go in here and be one foot in and one foot out. He didn't want them to get in there and be discouraged. Matter of fact, look at verse number 8, if you would, about being discouraged. The Bible says, and the officer shall speak further unto people, and they shall say, what man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart. And God knew that discouragement was contagious. God knew that unbelief was contagious. And so God did not want, in the midst of the battle, one soldier to be filled with unbelief and be discouraging. He knew that would rub off onto the other soldier. Be careful who you hang around. You need to look at your group of spiritual friends and see if they're people of faith or unbelief. Unbelief and discouragement are contagious and they can hurt you. They can. Because here's what happens. God's not going to fight that battle the way you think he's going to fight that battle. Nor is God going to fight that battle on the timetable that you think he's going to fight that battle. And most of that battle, you're going to think you're losing. You're going to look at it and you're thinking, man, I'm going down. This is just horrible. It's over. I'm going down. And if you have voices coming into your life that are saying, yeah, you're going down. You should have done it different. You shouldn't. It's not that simple. You shouldn't try. That unbelief and that discouragement will begin to rub off on you. And most of God's people, in the midst of the battle, we let our heart get disheartened or fainted. And we kind of turn and we run home. And we miss the great victory that God has for us. I see this all the time. I see God's people who begin the battle, but they don't finish the battle. They begin the battle with all the enthusiasm in the world, but they don't realize, look if you would please, at the very last verse, verse number 19 in the chapter. They don't realize something. I'll get this next week. When thou shalt besiege a city, say those three words. A long time. A long time. What's he saying there? He's saying that, guys, you're not just going to come up to a city and take it. I mean, Jericho took them 7 days. Ai took them defeat and going on. And others, he says, now when you've besieged a city a long time, I have found that spiritual battles, they just take time. They take time. And if your mindset is not right, then you're going to be discouraged. Well, what's my mindset? Well, the mindset ought to be that it don't matter how much time passes, God will never leave you. Ever. And God's fighting for you. Well, Pastor, I just want God to kill them all right now. Amen. Well, I've prayed that too. But it hadn't worked that way. You know, it's interesting. At the same time God's fighting for me, I've usually found he's working on me. He's fighting for me, but he's also working on me. And then I have to go to his word, and I say, now God, you said that you would fight to save me. I'm drowning here. I feel like I'm drowning here. I feel like my whole world's caving in here. I don't see any way out of here. But you said you would save me, so what do you want to do? I have found that when I want to do whatever God wants to do, usually things get done beautifully. And he goes on to talk about how they're supposed to organize themselves at the house. But I don't have enough time. It's 8:09. You don't look like you can take any more. You're like Popeye. You've stands all you can stands. You can't stands no more. And if I had a can of spinach, I'd shove it down your throat. All right. So let's pray.